Christ on Calvary. Will you for a moment celebrate Calvary with me? Come on, your hands should be up right now.
I always see it in my dreams. I recognize today.
It's about Calvary.
It's Calvary. They don't notice that I'm there. No one stops to look.
You should be in worship right now.
As I look upon my ears, I see something so unreal. I see my Savior nailed to the cross. He did it love for me. Right here in Calvary. It pierced him inside. Love was pouring in his eyes. There was weeping.
Are you weeping at his feet this morning for what he done for you and I on Calvary?
And Calvary.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah,
I see my Savior nailed to the cross. He did it all for me. Right here in Calvary. He didn't have to die. Could have called angels to his side
to carry him away. But he decided to stay on Calvary.
Thank you for Calvary.
Hallelujah this morning. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Because of Calvary. You and I have a moment, with the Father. You and I have the right to the tree of life because of Calvary. It was because of Calvary. That healed on my God. Calcutta, that he took his Golgotha, that he took his cross, that he buried, he carried that cross. He carried the burdens of you and I on that cross, that he didn't have to die, but he did. And I am grateful. For we know that the cross in itself is a symbol of death. The cross in itself is a symbol of the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. And that he died that we might have right to the tree of life. Do you all not know, or do you not understand that what without the death, the burial and the resurrection, there is no power in what we believe in. Because there's other gods who died. There are other little G gods that sacrificed, but nobody got up and said that they had all power in their hand. Nobody got up and was able to heal blinded eyes and able to make the lame walk and the dumb to talk. But he got up, and I know because of him that I have the right to the tree of life. It's because of him that I have this Holy Ghost that's cloven in my body, that set me on fire. Like Jeremiah says, like fire that's shut up in my bones and it won't leave me alone. It's just like all the others, all the hallelujah, all the others that said that, that's that burning, that yearning inside of them that won't leave them alone. I know it's the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost comes in and it comes in like a flood in it. And the Spirit of God, Lord Jesus, lifts us up and sets us up and tells us where to go, where not to go, what to do and what not to do, if we and only if we would listen to him. Hallelujah. I'm excited this morning. Welcome to the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina, where I get the amazing opportunity to serve so many people as pastor of this amazing congregation. Amen. For God is good. And he's worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down the same. He's so worthy to be praised. And it's so grateful to be here on this space yet another Easter Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. We had some technical issues this morning. It seemed like, you know, technology is technology. It do what it do, but it didn't stop the praise. Amen. There's no party like a Holy Ghost party, and the Holy Ghost party don't stop. Oh, come on, somebody. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, and a Holy Ghost party don't stop. We don't need no fire, but because he's fire all by himself. Amen. I'm fired up whether I got any music or not. You know, I use that stuff. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says we use these things to compel them to come. Amen. I know many of you now, those who are tuning in on Facebook, hell, Lord, let me get it right. Facebook and all the different social medias, YouTube and all these other places where they have censored us being worshipers. Oh, come on, somebody. They censored, you know, I know it's about money. I know it's about them getting their revenue and their streams. Amen. But we paid for the platform. We paid for what we got. Amen. But nonetheless, they still find a way. But you know what? They can't stop the gospel of God. Amen. The Bible said, well, there's two or three in the midst. There we will be. So for those who are on Facebook and you're just seeing us right now, what you'll find is that we no longer do our worship services. We get to share that part with you, but we do get to share the word of God with you. Amen. So when you see us come on now, we'll be straight, pretty much going right into the word of God. Amen. But if you want to attend that live worship service, because we still do it, we still get sit in, as they say. If you want to see that live worship service, I ask that you go to our website, click on that live link. Amen. And that'll take you where we are worshiping. Sometimes I'm able to post it, but we did have some technical difficulty on this morning. I'm just so grateful to the Safe House Church to see so many of you here. I would rather have seen your face in the building over here where we worship. Amen. But nonetheless, God is still good. He's kept us. You know, we have not lost not one member of our congregation. From my understanding, not one moment, one member of our congregation has contracted coronavirus. Amen. Not one member. Amen. And I just, you know, I'm just grateful to God, because there's many people who members have gotten coronavirus and have checked out of here, both saved, unsaved, you know, living holy, not living holy, amen, because this thing what has no respect of person, amen. But I'm just grateful that God has kept his hands around us. That's nothing that I've done. It's nothing that you've done, but it was just his goodness and his mercy that's kept us, because I've been exposed a couple of times. Amen. I have relatives have had it. I had some of my co-workers, some of the people that I supervise, that all of them have had it. Amen. A number of them have had it. And God has kept his hand on me. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you know you've been probably around people who've had this thing and people who've been sick, but God has kept his hand on you? Would you slip your hand up real quick? Will you say in the chat that, hey, God has kept his hand on me? And I'm grateful that God is what? He kept his hand on me. He's kept his hand on you. And that we're here yet another day to be able to speak of the goodness and gracious of God. If this is your first time at the Safe House Church, again, my name is Dr. Peter Ely, and I get to serve as pastor of these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people that God has given us to work with here in the vineyard. We understand that maybe our ministry is an acquired taste. Amen. Everybody can't get what it's, you know, everybody can't. And they make us better than anybody else. Amen. But there are certain ministries that, you know, people are attracted to for whatever the case and whatever the reason is. And that's fine. You know, God has given us a very strong teaching ministry. You know, I tell you right here, I don't think I can. I don't preach with the best of them. Amen. I don't sing well. But if you want some teaching, oh, come on, somebody. I know you can put me up there with anybody and I'm all right. Amen. Because, you know, you got to know your gifts. Amen. And, you know, and the Bible says that a good pastor would be what? He'd be apt to teach. So he didn't say he had to be a great preacher, but he said he better be a good teacher. So that's why I believe God is taking care of us, and we are doing as well as we can in the space. Because preaching to get them, you know, we get evangelists to get them to come in, amen. But once you get them there, what are you telling the people? Are you telling the people how to keep their soul? Are you telling the people how to go forward? Are you telling people how to walk right and talk right? Amen. Here at the Safe House Church, we don't give orders to anybody. We just tell you what God says, and then we just hold you accountable. Oh, come on, somebody. We work off three principles here at the Safe House Church. I believe God has called us to. That's discipleship, that we're going to teach you God's word. We're going to spend time with you. We're going to walk with you. Amen. And then what, we move from discipleship to empowerment, because now at some point you got to grow up. You can't be a man child all of your life. Amen. That you have to grow up to the level of accountability that you can go out in that highways and byways and compel someone else to come. Then after that, we move to what? Accountability. Accountability is important, right? Because I cannot just do any and everything that I want to do. I am accountable. I am my brother's keeper. I'm accountable to these beautiful members of the Safe House Church that God has blessed us with. I am accountable to them. They are accountable to me. Amen. And we are accountable what? To one and another. Why? Because we're looking to make it in. The Bible says it like this, that iron sharpens iron. Amen. And what happens with iron sharpens iron, there's friction sometimes. So sometimes they don't always agree with me. Sometimes I don't always agree with them. But what happens is with this cutting away, that it's cutting off my rough edges. Amen. And it's cutting off their rough edges. Amen. And what happens is there's a sharpening that occurs if you're staying there a little while. See, this is the thing. Sometimes people quit marriages so quick and we have a couple of disagreements and we're ready to get a divorce. Amen. Sometimes sometimes marriage is going to have some disagreements. It's going to be some work. I tell you, if I had a dollar for every time we disagreed, oh, come on, somebody. Or as we used to say, we have some intense fellowship. I have right much, amen. But nonetheless, God is good and his mercy endure forever. So this is how we build and this is how we go forward in Jesus' name. I want to go before we get into what I believe God has given me to share with you on this morning, that this is the Sunday that will be set aside as Easter. Amen. More effectually, people call it, you know, Resurrection Sunday. You know, they say Easter has pagan roots and all this stuff. And, you know, the truth of the matter is a lot of things that have pagan roots. But I know the God I serve. I don't serve Ishtar. Oh, come on. We know Ishtar to be a God. You know, we are not dumb in the space. Amen. We're very knowledgeable in the space. You know, we know the fertility of the eggs and the bunnies. And this comes from the fertility God, you know, of Egyptian culture and all these things. Amen. We're aware of all these things. But right now, we choose to focus on what God has called us to focus on. That we can go dig deep and pull all these things up. But at the end of the day, did he die? Did he rise? Did he live? And do you and I have what? A right to the tree of life. That's what my focus is on right now. Yes, we can go in history and all these things are important and they do have their place. Amen. But what I want to know is, do you have any power since you believe? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you been down in Jesus' name since you believe? That's what I want to know. I want to know, what's your walk after Acts 2:38? Oh, come on, somebody. I'm not throwing any rocks or any stones this morning, but I just want to know, what are you doing after that? Are you walking in his power? Are you walking in his glory? Are you walking in the newness of life? Are you walking? Are you being the head and not the tail? Are you being above and not beneath? Are you both being winner and conqueror through Christ Jesus? Are you compelling them to come? Are you walking into these places and things are changing? Is your light not being hid? Oh, come on. Because he said you'll be a light that wouldn't be here. They'll be on a high hill. Amen. That you'll be on a hill that you wouldn't be healed. That's what I want to know. I want to know, what are you doing since you believe? Oh, come on, somebody. I want to know, what are you doing since you believe? Yes, you've been down. But what are you doing now? He said, save yourself from this underworld generation. That he did say. But he's also told us that what we are to what? To reach out. It's not his will that nobody be lost. And I'm grateful for that. Would you pray for me? Pray with me real quickly. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord, this beautiful morning, Lord Jesus, that we've not seen before. Lord, we thank you for the members of the Safe House Church. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all those who are listening all around the world, Lord, you both on podcast, YouTube, whatever the case may be, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, just this word this morning, oh God, that you've given us, oh God. Lord Jesus, that it be, Lord Jesus, nourishment to their bodies, oh God, to their spiritual bodies, Lord Jesus, that they understand, Lord Jesus, that they get, Lord Jesus, that what they come for, oh God. Lord Jesus, some may, Lord, you want sweet. Some may want steak. Some want just salad, oh God. But nonetheless, oh God, you are able to be God to them all, Lord, for you are all encompassing, Lord, all powers in your hands, Lord, for we love you, Lord, with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and know that you're Jehovah Jireh, that you are our provider, that you're Jehovah Nissi, Lord, that you fight our battles. You Elohim, El Shaddai, the lily of the valley, bright and morning star. You the rose of Sharon, oh God. You are the balm in Gilead, oh God. And we thank you this morning, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, oh God. Lord, and we give your name all the honor and all the praise. Lord, I ask you to anoint my voice, Lord. Anoint me right now, Lord, you be able to speak those things as if they were, oh God. Let me speak your word, oh God, that someone may ask, Lord, you, what must I do to be saved, Lord? What must I do to get it together, oh God? What must I go, Lord Jesus? How do I go? How do I stay in this space? How do I keep this feeling, Lord Jesus, of freedom, Lord Jesus? For you said, where the spirit is, there is liberty, Lord. How do I keep this, Lord Jesus, in me, oh God? And I thank you, Lord. We thank you in advance. Forgive us of all our sins, those known and unknown to us. Oh God, strengthen us and keep us. Help us to walk into those spaces. We ask you to do all these things and others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, come on, y'all, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap. Give him a hand clap wherever you may be, wherever you are. I don't know about you, but give him a hand clap and let him know, Lord Jesus, that I appreciate what you have done for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to try to navigate this space. Like I said, our technology has done some things this morning that was a usually don't do. And we had a couple updates on things last night and on some of this stuff. And, you know, stuff just kind of went all over the place. But nonetheless, God is good and his mercy shall endure forever. And I'm going to try to give it to you the best way I can here. Amen. Hopefully I'll be able to still share my screen. And if we're able to do that, we will do that. If not, we'll just go forward from there and give you, see, we went too far there. We'll just give you the book and verse, and we'll go from there. Amen? Amen. I almost went old school on y'all this morning. Well, this. All right. So let's go. I want you to go to John 19. John, St. John, the 19th chapter. And we're going to start at verse 1. I'm going to do some reading here because I'm trying to lay a foundation of this topic. I want to lay a foundation for what I believe God has given us. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you guys have been good to you over the week? I know he's been good to me. God has been so good, so good, so good. And I'm just grateful. He's kept me alive. He's continued to strengthen me and hold my body. And I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. You know, we've had some other people pass on this week, but you know what? Nonetheless, I'm still here. You're still here. Amen. And because of that, we're grateful. We're grateful. We're grateful. So in light of Easter, we will read, you know, of course, we have a Easter message for you. The month of April is about family. Amen. Remember, we talked about reimagining God in the space, and we talk about these different ways you can reimagine God. When I mean by reimagine God, it doesn't that you just disown him and just start. No, you know, when you came to God, you came to him in one way. We all did. Some of you came for healing. Some of you came, you know, for the forgiveness of sin. Some of you came out of fear. Whatever the case may be, we all came. But what we've been challenging believers to do for the whole entire year of 2021 is to imagine God from a different point of view. See him from a different space. I'm challenging believers to what know God in a better way. Know him more than just that one vein. See, some of us know people and we know situations and things where we speak to people about one situation or one thing. And we, you know, we only know them for that. You know, when we want this, we go to them for that. When we want that, we go to them for that. When we need this, we go to them for this. Well, I'm challenging you. Can you know God in a different way? Can you know him in a different way? And this is where our focus would be on the entire month of April, this being the first Sunday in April, and also that coincides with the Easter holiday. So we had John 19 and 1, and it says this. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers placed a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. A purple robe. Why did they put a crown of thorns on his head? Why did they put a purple robe? Keep that in mind. And he said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto him, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." Oh, I forgot to give y'all some Bible. Switch it over here. I'm going to try to attempt there. Let me switch that over for you. I think we'll be able to do it. Ah, see, that worked. Okay. "Behold the man." I want to make sure those, because I know everybody doesn't have a Bible. I'm going to make sure that you have the space to get this. "Behold the man." We're in 19 and 5 right now. He said, "Behold the man. And when the chief priests, therefore, all and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!' And Pilate said unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.'" No fault twice, he says. Then the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." He made himself the Son of God. "When Pilate therefore heard that this saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, 'Whence art thou?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, 'Speak not thou unto me. Knowest that thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?' And Jesus answered, 'Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin.' And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh him a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard the saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that and the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew was called Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold, your king. But they cried out, away with him, and away with him, and crucify him. And Pilate said unto him, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered and said, we have no king but Caesar. 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 Let that soak in for a moment. We have no king but Caesar. If I was to use for a subject on this morning, I want to talk about Bloody Sunday. Bloody Sunday. Bloody Sunday. As we read through this text on this Sunday, we know many of us already know this story of the crucifixion. We find that here Pilate has Jesus, and Jesus is being accused of blaspheming. He's being accused of calling himself the Son of God. And this being called the Son of God has some consequences with it. Do you not know that you and I, when we call ourselves children of God, when we know that we walk in by faith and not by sight, that our walk comes with some consequences? Our walk comes with some persecution. Our walk comes with some accusation. Our walk comes with some things that are unsettling to us. That even those who see us as not being guilty happen to have to charge us because of the minority. So I find it strange in this country that we live in, and I'm grateful to be a citizen of the United States of America. But we find that sometimes it's the little boxes that destroy the vine. The Bible talks about it, says it's not the big things that get us, but it's the little things that throw us off. It's the little things that get us off kilter. Because in time, what happened, that which was little turns to be large. He says it like this. He said, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Why? Because if that beginning is small and given time and consistency, what we will find is that which was small has now become large. When you think about it from the point of view of you and I, when we was in inception in our mother's womb, we started out as a single cell. In fact, two cells that came together to make one cell. And that one cell started to do what? To multiply. And as we watched in time, these cells continue to multiply and multiply and multiply until we have what we have today, you and I. And even when we get out, we come out of the mother's womb. After that time of gestation period, we come out of the mother's womb and we still what? Our cells still multiply. We continue to grow and we continue to get better and we continue to get stronger until you see what you see before us on this day. Small things matter. Because see, what Jesus was doing was he was establishing his throne here on earth as it was in heaven. What he was doing was he was making way for those who didn't have opportunity, those who didn't have access, those who were not had equitable access to him in this space. Because believe it or not, people make separation. We often make separation amongst one another. In fact, what we do is we make it harder for one another. Why? Because we want to believe one is more high than the other. And even in this time that they were doing this, they were making separation amongst each other to the fact that what? That they had these who were Jews and these who were known as Gentiles. Jews were being of a certain sect and a certain group of people and a certain thing, and because of who they were entitled to certain things. And then you had Gentiles who were considered to be dogs, who had to be what? Adopted people, who had to be engrafted into the tree of life. How many are glad that you have been engrafted into the tree of life? So I find here now Jesus here being God and robed in flesh. And now he's being here where he's being crucified, and they going after him, and they asking him question after question. Why are you doing this? And they ask him, if you are a true king, why are you being treated the way you're being treated? In fact, what we find is when we start in John 19:1, we find that they are mocking him. One of the worst things that happen to a king is to be mocked. In fact, we find that they said they get a roll of thorns, and they roll the thorns together. In fact, they roll the thorns together to make a crown, not just any old crown, not a crown that was worthy of the King of Kings, not a crown that was worthy of royalty, but they put, in fact, a crown of thorns, in fact, to what? To mock him. Not a crown full of rubies, not a crown full of jewelry and precious stones and precious metals and velvet, crushed velvet, and all these things that we see crowns that are made of today, but a crown that came from an earthen vessel, a crown that came from the ground, a crown that actually caused pain, a crown that pierced his side, a crown that sat upon his head, a crown that showed his humanity, a crown of thorns as they mocked him. Then we find out that they go on, and not only do they do what, they go and they get a robe of purple. And we know that purple is of cost, that purple is of royalty, that purple stands for royalty. Why? Because of what it costs to get it. That there's so many different shells that I can't remember exactly the name of the shell, but the shell that had to be collected because it gave off just what they would call a purple dye. So therefore, purple was what? Quite costly, a robe. And therefore, they put this robe on him with a crown of thorns, him being half naked, him being almost ready to be beat to death, had already suffered the beating of the cat of nine tails. In 1 Corinthians, that Paul tells us that he had gotten what? 40 minus one lashes for us, which we find to be 39. Which is believed that what the 39, you know, the Bible tells us that by his stripes that we are healed. And we find that what? That the origin of all the world's diseases can be traced back to 39 different strands. I don't find that to be coincidental. Because what he's already taken, what? A stripe for each thing that you and I all find ourselves dealing with, that we find ourselves running into, that we find ourselves impartial to. You know, do you find it strange that what he sat here and he endured all of this just for you and I? It was this that he could have what? He could have taken all these people away. In fact, Pilate asked him, saying, if you are, why endure such a thing? Do you not know that those who have the rule over you do not see fault in you, but it's those who are among you that have fault with you? I find it strange. It's not the bosses. It's not the supervisors. But the ones you serve with. The ones that you are in the foxhole with, so to speak. The ones that you are in battle with. Those are the ones who are crucifying you and who are voting for your crucifixion. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? I find it interesting that it's not Pilate who has this power that's been given to him, but Jesus reminds him, but it's not your power. It's because I've chosen to walk this walk. I've chosen to go this way. I've chosen to lay my life down so that what I know I have purpose. I know there's a place that I'm going. I know there's a people whose lives are going to be changed because of what I'm about to do right here. And if I tell you my purpose, you might try to set off my purpose. You might try to beset me. So what? He keeps him to himself and he stays focused on the task at hand. Here they mock him, and now they get him say, okay, yes, you are king. You're king of what? You're king of the Jews, that Nazareth king. I find that where they make sure that they talk about where he comes from to bring mockery to him. The people that who he ruled, the people who he would come to give his life for, who didn't even want him to begin with. We see here it was the priest, as we read, who were crucifying him. It was the priest, those who we have raised up, those we've given power, those we trust, those we put in their hand. It was the priests who were accusing Jesus. Why were the priests accusing Jesus? Because Jesus struggled and was going to touch their power. Jesus was coming to declare their indulgences, as we found from Martin Luther's 95 Theses, that the indulgences were no more. That he had come to establish his throne here on earth. He had come to open up ways so that those who were the least in society could also become the best of society. That they had the opportunity to reach out. That they had the opportunity to grab his hand. So I asked myself this day, I was asking myself three questions that I would like for you to focus on as I finish and as I go forward on this day. Jesus died. He endured a horrible death, the crucifixion. As you go on and you read some more of this chapter, you find that what he was given his cross. He was to carry that cross. He carried that cross to that hill. And on that hill, they nailed him to that cross. And they nailed him to that cross. There he was. He suffered in the heat of the day. He suffered there as he bled and he was in dehydration and he was getting heat scorched and he was just going through all kinds of things as his body and his organs were starting to shut down. And they find him and then what Pilate said, oh, the next day is the day of the feast of the Passover. We do not want them on that hill. So go, he tells them to go what? And break their legs. He tells them to go break their legs. Why did he tell them to break their legs? By breaking their legs, that it will speed up the death process. But when they get to the hill and they break the one that was on the left of Jesus's leg, and this is how we know he was in the middle, because then the Bible says he goes in and he breaks the one on the right. But when they go to break Jesus's legs, they notice that he was already dead. Why? Because the Bible tells us and prophesies that he would give his life for us and that way no bones would be broken in his body. So in all the beatings that Jesus had endured, all the things he had done, what? That there was no bones. The bones of what? Your body represent your structure. That no matter what happens to you, no matter what you go through, that what? The structure, the core, the foundation of who you are would never, ever be destroyed. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, whatever you go through, I know some of us have been going through some things, but I'm here to tell you, hold on to your foundation. Because it's that foundation that will not be destroyed. It's that foundation. If you have that foundation, you're what? You're able to build again. So many times, we go through things and we get to the point and we realize and we want to throw in the towel. But I'm here to tell you today to hold on to your foundation. Your foundation, that structure, what? Because that structure, if you have that structure, things can be built again. Things can be built again. So what does Jesus ask us to do? He tells us what? To live as a living sacrifice. To give our bodies as a holy living sacrifice. He gave away himself as a sacrifice unto death, but he told you and I to do it as living. Foundational truth. Foundational things. That what? He wants us to give our bodies living sacrifice so that what? Even when they tear us down, even when we're torn down, even when we're crucified by living, that he's able to what? Build us up again. This is why it's crucial and it's critical, brothers and sisters, that you hold on to your faith. When you've done all you can do to stand, he tells us what? To stand with your lions girded against you. What? Stand on that foundation of truth. Stand on that foundation of who he is. Stand on that foundation that he died and he rose and that he's coming again. Stand on that foundation that, you know what? He told me that he has my back. He told me that he will be what a present help in the time of trouble. That I am to stand on that foundation. How does this foundation help? My second question, my first was, what did he ask us to do? He told us to stand. And when you're doing all you've done to stand, stand. And when you've done that, stand. And it's going to be a blood sport. They coming after you. It's their job to do so. If they're not, the Bible said what? Be careful of every man who speaks well of you. Because then if they all speaking well of you, you may just be on their team. Because the Bible talks about a house that is divided is what? It will fall. A house that is divided will fall. You cannot be divided against yourself. The enemy Beelzebub doesn't fight against Beelzebub, as the Bible puts it. So my next question to you this morning would be, how does this help us? How does this help us? See, his crucifixion helps us in that it's a constant reminder to us that my life is not my own. What I do is, no, not just for me, but I do it unto the glory of God. I'm reminded when we help others that are less fortunate than us. I'm reminded when we help others who do have more than what we have, that I don't do it for me. But I do it for what? For his glory. I do it unto him. Why do I do it unto him? Because I don't belong to myself. And his crucifixion reminds me that what? My life was paid with a ransom. There was a ransom for my life. There was a ransom for your life. And that ransom for my life was what? His blood. As you read down in the text, you'll find that the Bible says, once they realized he was dead, that they did what? They took the spear and they pierced him in his side. And as they pierced him in his side, what we find is what? Their blood and water came streaming down. It was that blood that was shed on Calvary. We find that we go back to Old Testament where something, there is sin in the camp, something has to die. And because it died, it's called the atonement of sin. And the thing that had to be atoned for, there's what? It takes the place of the sin, because sin is death. The Bible says it like this, the wages of sin is death, but yet the gift of God is eternal life. So now what? Well, something must die. And Jesus, what? He gave himself to die for you and I. And since he gave himself to die, how does this help us? He replaced himself for us. He paid the ransom. See, without that ransom being paid, you are certain towards damnation. I am certain towards damnation. But there was a ransom that was paid. What was that ransom? The devil was holding us on a ransom, and that ransom was Jesus, give your life. Because he thought that if he gave his life, that he wouldn't be no more. If he gave his life, that he would cease to exist. If he gave his life, that what? That would be the end. And for a normal human being, it would have been. For a normal human being, it would have been the end. But I find for him when he was not normal, he was what? God in robe and flesh. So what he didn't know is that he had the power to give his life, and he also had the power to pick his life back up. And what he does it in the form that he picks his life back up, and he gives you and I the opportunity to be able to what? Give our life to him, so that what? Now that it belongs to him, and since it belongs to him, he's able to pick it back up when it's fallen down. He's able to pick it back up and dust it off and clean it off and blow life back into it again. But he's the sustainer of life. And she reminds Pilate that Pilate, oh, no, 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 you got it all wrong, my dear friend. That what? I gave my life. And I hold my life. And because I hold it, I control it. Not you. I want to remind you today, brothers and sisters, that what you're going through, it's not about you. It never has been about you, but it's about what? God using you to reach somebody else. Just like he used somebody else to reach me. I don't know what somebody else has endured, but I'm here to tell you that, though, it's a bloody thing. It's a bloody thing. Why? Because it has to be bloody, because it needs to be bloody, because the blood, when they see the blood, what? It will pass over you. You know, a couple of Sundays ago, we was going through what the 10 plagues, and on the plagues, what happened is what when we got to the last plague, when the plague of death was coming, they said what that you take the what the blood of the lamb of the first year, the one that was without spot or wrinkle. Oh, come on, somebody, y'all didn't think that was leading the Calvary, did you? But what he said that you take the lamb. Oh, we know we call Jesus what the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth, right? And what that lamb that was slain was what Jesus, that was that little lamb that was representative of Jesus what they'll be speaking in what we call literary terms as foreshadowing. It was foreshadowing the death. They said, what, the lamb of the first year. Well, last time I checked, Jesus was the only begotten son. They said he had to be without spot or wrinkle. Last time I checked, Jesus was sinless. And then they said, what, they'll take that blood. Oh, come on, somebody. And that blood is going to atone for the sin. Oh, my God, of the house. Amen. And they said, put it on the doorpost. Because the doorpost is where what things come through. It's through the doorpost of our hearts where he comes in. And he said, when I see the blood, then what? I shall pass over you. When they see the blood, when they see his anointing, when they see his love, when they see his power, that what, no matter what they can do, they see it, but there's nothing they can do because they realize that what, this one has been paid for. See, when we go and get baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus, that's just what representative of us being washed in his blood. So when the enemy comes in like a flood and he wants to come in, what, God said, nope, that's mine. Don't you see my blood on them? It's a blood sport. It's a bloody thing. And I'm covered in his blood. It's the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary that gives us this opportunity. So what? Because of his blood. How does this help us? Because of his blood. So my last question I was asking here as we was looking at Calvary, how do we help somebody else? How? Because this is not about us. Yes, I got, you know, some people know I got mine and they got to get theirs. But did you get yours alone? Did you get yours solo? Or did some blood had to be shed for you to have what you have? Was there some sacrifice made for you to have what you have? Were there some things that have gone forward? Some things changed? Was some prayers sent up for you to have what you have? I'm here to remind you today that, well, we don't serve a God who was selfish. Nor does he call us and tell us to be selfish. I know you might have been looking for a rah-rah and a preach this morning for a Sunday morning Easter service. But I'm calling you into servitude. Because we serve the God who served. He came to serve and not be served. And so many of us find ourselves today, it's like, what can you do for me, Pastor? What can you do for me? I gave my money, you ain't got the air conditioner. I did this, you ain't did that. I did this and you ain't did that. Did you come to be served? Did you come to be at Grand Dover Hotel? Or did you come to be a servant? I know, I tell you all, this safe house is just not for everybody, I get it. And that's all right. I mean, you're not in that same. But here, this group of people here, the God is called, because it's a group of leaders. And leaders come to serve other leaders. And because of this service, that we understand that we have bought with a price, and sometimes we pay a bloody price for it. Sometimes there are things that go on in my family, I don't know, understand. So, Lord, why is this? Lord, there's sometimes the things go on in my job, and I'm saying, why is me? There's sometimes there's things that go on in my body, and I'm saying, Lord, why? Lord, I serve it. And he reminds me that it's for his glory. And that in due season, he said, if you will suffer with me for a while, that you'll reign with me. And then I'm reminded by the times that, you know, when I look back and I look over and I say, Lord, it wasn't that bad. But during the time I thought I was going through hell and high water, during the time I was ready to throw in the towel, during the time I was just saying, no, the heck with all of it. Why am I in this? But then when I look back over my life and I think things over and I started to measure and I see that all of my good days, they outweigh my bad days, and I'm learning not to complain. You know, God has been good to me, and I know he's been good to you, brothers and sisters. And I ask you on today, as this bloody Sunday, we have what? Why is it bloody? Because we have to continually remind ourselves of what happened at the cross. We have to continue to remind ourselves of the selflessness act that Jesus did. That way he could have stood up, he could have declared himself King of Kings and Lord of Lords right there and just chucked them off and did whatever he wanted to do to them. But no, he didn't do that. He put back so that you and I could walk forward. He took down so that you and I could slip in. He allowed them to do things to him that did not have to be done, but he allowed it. Why? Because there was a bigger picture involved. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, I know we look at this little thing that we're going, we look at this thing we're going through. No, it's not little, because it's big to you, because it's yours right now, and you're going through it. But I'm here to tell you today that endure hardness is a good soul. There's somebody struggling today. There's somebody today who was thinking about throwing in the towel. There was somebody today who was saying, you know what, Pastor, they're killing me over here. Why? Why does it seem like the wicked continue to prosper? Why does it seem like those who just do whatever they want to do, have children all out of wedlock all over the place, that all their children are healthy, but yet mine is sick? We look at the thing and we say, Lord, why does it seem like those who don't pay the tithe and they offer, Lord Jesus, they the one got the new car, they getting the stimulus checks, they getting this, Lord, and it seems like we're struggling to get by. But the Bible reminds me, said that, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread. That just like I care for the birds in the air, that I would take care of you. Then the others, then and then the point in time comes when God is now opened up his hands, when he's poured down on you, oh, they must be stealing money from the church. Oh, they must be doing this, or they must be doing that, they must be in sin. Just know there's no pleasing people, because it's the same people who Jesus was blessing, the same people that Jesus were opening up their eyes, the same people Jesus would feeding them the two fish and the five loaves of bread. It was these same people who are now off with his head. The same people who were crucifying him. It's a blood sport, and you're going to die multiple times. It's Bloody Sunday. And why is it bloody on Sunday? Because on Sunday he rose. Yeah. On Sunday he got up. It was 3 days, they said. It was on that Friday. That's why we call it Good Friday. And, you know, people don't know exactly, but we call it Good Friday because on that Friday, he laid down his life. And they went to the tomb, the Bible tells me that. They went to the tomb, and they buried him in the tomb. They went, and they noticed that the stone had been rolled away, and that the stone had rolled away. All they saw was a shroud there. That's where he used to be, but he was not there no longer. Why? Because he had gone up, and he had ascended to heaven where his father was. That was there on the right hand, saying that he's there, what, to prepare a place for you and I. So as we continue to die these multiple deaths, as we continue to die to our flesh, as we continue to die to our ways, as we continue to die to our thoughts and our things and things that come to get us down, as we continue to die to that, and we walk in the newness of life, because he said that I come that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly. And as I focus on those things of God, as I focus on his resurrection power, as I focus on the power that he's put inside me, as I focus on that bush that's burning inside of me that's not being consumed, as I focus on that fire in my bones like Jeremiah, that won't leave me alone, as I focus on those things that he's called me to be the head and not the tail, as I focus on that, that he's got it all in his hand, that he has the cattle on 1,000 hills, as I focus that I'm going to be the salt of the earth, as I focus that he said I would have to endure these things, but that he has my back and that he got me, as I focus on these things that he said, if I have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, I should speak to the mountain, and the mountain has to move, as I focus on these things to remind myself that we're walking by faith and not by sight, that the steps of a good man are ordered by him, as I focus on these things, that know that he's Jehovah Jireh, that he's going to provide. As I focus on these things, that even though they throw me in the lion's den, the lion cannot eat me, he cannot open his mouth unless God tells him to open it, then God is going, what, he's going to affirm me and sit me at the right hand of the Father. Woo! I'm reminded today, I hope that you are die multiple deaths. You die, Paul says it like that, he said, I die daily. And it's bloody. Somebody's learning God through you. Somebody's seeing, how do you handle that situation? They ain't going to say it. They ain't going to announce it. You know, I look now, we got several people probably watching that I've never seen watch before. I don't know that they even watch them because it's the way that the internet works. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, there's somebody saying, what does he do when he gets in this situation? How does he handle that? Is it anything to that God he talks about? He talks about him all the time, but I want to know, what does it look like when he's got to go through? You all, this is what separates the believers from the non-believers. It's one thing to be able to talk about a thing, but it's another thing when you live it. It's one thing to be able to talk about all these things you do, but it's another thing for me to watch what you do. We are not just talkers, but we are walkers. And I want to encourage you today. Yes, weeping may endure for a night, but it's joy comes in the morning. that late in the midnight hour, they said Paul and Silas was what? They were praying. Yeah, they were praying. And what does he do? Late in the midnight hour, he turned it around. And it's going to work in your favor. I'm here to tell you today, no matter where it's come, no matter where it's went, that God is working this in your favor. It don't look like it right now. I'm telling you from experience, and I'm even some things that I'm experiencing right now. It's like, Lord, I don't know about this. Lord, where this is going to go? Lord, they about to overlook me again. Lord, they about to go do this about my back again. Lord, I've done everything I'm supposed to do in this space. Why does it keep happening to me? And God just said, just shut up and let me be God. See, if you notice, when Pilate asked him, he said, why ain't you got something to say, Jesus? That's what he asked him. Y'all heard it? We read it. And Jesus just looked at him and didn't say a thing. Because when you know a thing, you don't have to announce it. When you know that you know that you know that you know, you don't have to announce it. You know, they tell me one of the best things to be, if you could be that, is wealthy and anonymous. Wealthy and anonymous. Well, the more I think about that, that is true. Because if you're wealthy, then obviously, you know, you have some things, right? You know, and wealth goes in many different sources and different ways, right? We're not going to define that. But to be anonymous, what does that mean? Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows, right? And God has called us to be what? Wealthy with his spirit and anonymous. That's why you can bless somebody. You ain't got to say a word. You ain't got to tell nobody you did. Because he said, that which was done in secret, I will reward openly. You see, when God gives it, ain't nothing nobody else can do about it. When God gives it, this is why the Bible reminds us that promotion does not come from the east, the west, the north, or the south. But promotion comes from God. So if you have that, he wanted you to have it. Because, you know, my prayers, and I pray all the time, we pray about congregations, like, Lord, let your perfect will be done. But if it's going to be something that's going to destroy us, let's not have it. And sometimes that's a hard prayer to pray. Why? Because we desire to have things. We want to do things. We want to be, you know, and this is what we say. But God, you know us better than we. You know if I get this, will it destroy me? You'll know if you bless me with this nice i8 BMW, I'd rather be on Sunday mornings washing it than praising your name. Come on, he knows you. Lord, if you bless me with this, I'd rather be on 8 or 9 vacations a year than in church worshiping you. I can watch online. That's what you'll tell yourself. See, he knows you. You know, if he blessed you with this and he told you to give some of this to this people and bless them, you know, you'll be out there, well, I don't know. They don't need that much. They got enough. See, this is why some of us can't be, because we give like this. You see, when you give like this, nothing in. Nothing out. But when you give like this, I can give and take. Give and take. And it just flows. Do you not know that the spirit is what? It's a flow. It's a flow. The spirit flows through us. And if you are a dam, this is what it means to be dammed. Thank you, Holy Ghost. When we talk about something being dammed, what does a dam do? It stops things up. And some of you, if you're damned in your spirit, that's what that means. Don't be damned in your spirit. The Bible said what? Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. Liberty is what? Freedom, meaning that it can flow. Some of us are so inflexible. The Bible talks about it like this. It says that these skins, wine skins, he said what? Pour new wine in new wineskins. Because if you put the new wine in the old wineskins, they crack and they burst. Why do they crack and burst? Because they're not flexible. Reimagine God in the space. Reimagine God. I know you know God like this, but be flexible. What if God wants you to know him the God of this? Because he's God of all. But you made him God of one. And you only made him because you limit him. Just because you limit him don't mean I have to limit him. I promise you today, brothers and sisters, and I encourage you, look at God in many facets of your life. What in your life that's dammed up that's stopping him from flowing? Are you worried about what somebody's going to say? Are you worried about this? Are you worried about this? Are you worried about your public persona? These are things that are what? Damning you up and stopping the flow of God in your life. If you notice here, we read today that what? Listen, when they pierced him from his side, what happened? Blood and water flowed. And from that flow, it flowed where? It flowed down from the crown. From him down to what? The foot of the cross. And where do we find us? They tell us that what? We are what? At the foot of the cross, worshiping him. Well, that means what? That as it flows down, it flows to us. And God cannot use you if you are damned. Because it stops up. But what he should do is what? It flows through you. And as it flows, it leaves a remnant, a residue. Think about it, if it flows. It flows, it leaves a residue, and it continues to flow through you because it don't stop with you, and it flows to what? The one behind you. And it flows through them to the one behind them. What am I saying? Simple as this. It's this bloody Sunday, and the blood should not stop with you. You got yours. You getting it. He's blessing you. Now be a blessing to somebody else. He told them what? He told Mary Magdalene and them what they did this. The angel tells them, said, go and tell the others that he has risen. Will you go and tell somebody else today that he's risen? Will you go and tell somebody else today, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus? Will you go and tell someone else today that he is risen? God bless you all. Love you all. I hope that this has been a blessing to you on this morning, despite all our technical difficulties we had. But God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down the same, he is so, so worthy to be praised. I ask this morning, if you would, if God has been on your heart, that you bless us and offer. Amen. Everything that comes here from the Safe House Church goes directly into this ministry. Amen. You see it on your screen there. You can give a couple of different ways. If you have check or money order, you can do P.O. Box 862 Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Again, that's P.O. Box 862 Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Make that out to Finding Fish Ministries. Or if you're on Cash App, you can do Safe House Church GSO. That's $ Safe House Church GSO. And whatever God has put on your heart there. Or if you're a PayPal person, that's paypal.me/ministryaid. On all of those, you will see the little SH symbol there in the corner to realize that you do have the right place. And for whatever you give, we'll be grateful and we'll go towards the working and the glory of God in this particular ministry. We're just so grateful, so happy that you all have chosen to be with us. You could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be with us on this day. And for that, we are grateful. Amen. As we go back in to my service this morning, hallelujah, and I'm going to finish up with you as we go back in here on today. Maybe you don't know God in the fullness of his glory. Maybe you ask and say, Pastor, hey, you know what? I get it. I heard what you said. I need to get out there. I need to get off my demon stool, and I need to go out there and convince and compel some others to come. But I don't know him fully for myself. How do I be saved? Glad you asked. The Bible tells us this, that you know, that on the day when the day of Pentecost had fully come, meaning they were waiting on it, that they repented, and each and every one of them were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. So first thing, it starts with repentance. I repent. Repent mean what? To turn away. When you turn away this Easter Sunday, don't let it be another Easter, or maybe you don't make it to next Easter. I don't know. Maybe I don't make it to next Easter. We don't even know if we make it from week to week without his power, without his glory. But he said what? Repent from your sin. Meaning what? To turn away. Do you make a significant saying and say that I repent? Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Ask for forgiveness of yourself. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, those sins known and unknown to me. And be sincere about it. Then ask him, say, Lord, fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, we believe that the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2:38, came in with what? Not Acts 2:38, but they believe that the Holy Ghost came in, and when it came in with power, and that what they were able to speak tongues. Amen. Yeah, I still believe that. Call me crazy, but it's all right. Not every man is going to speak well. I don't care if you're at home or you by yourself, but I do believe that his power will encompass you. Why? Because it's when you allow him to take over you, who you are, and give control to him. And then what? Be baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus. Why Jesus? Jesus is what? The name of the teacher. They were known to be baptized in the name of their rabbi. And the rabbi here is Jesus. Jesus being what? The great teacher. So be baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus for the remission of sin. I know you some say, why would we baptize the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? No, but those are just his titles. But, you know, if I wrote you a check today and said, hey, let me put it on there, you know, Father Peter, Father, Son, I find that you would not cash that check. But when I sign my name has authority. Because what? My name has the power to release that which is in the bank because it has authority. When you right now, when you be baptized in the name of Jesus, when we call on the name of Jesus, what is that authority that what that he's behold and he's on the advocate on the side of the Father for us. So now we know he has the power to cash whatever it is that we ask him to do. He has the power to fulfill whatever it is that we ask. So as to be baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus. Hey, if you're looking to be baptized, give us a call here at the church. If you can't get away, we'll baptize you. 336-501-7552. Again, it's 336-501-7552. Or send us a message. Send us an email here at the church. Send us a message on Facebook. Whatever the case may be, reach out. It's that important. It's that important. And then that starts your walk with him. That starts your walk with them. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, boom, it's just going to happen like this overnight. You know, I know some preachers that once saved, once always saved. I don't believe that. I don't have Bible for that. They don't have Bible for that. It's no thing as such. It's an eternal security. Some would maybe question whether you were saved in the beginning. Then maybe that's a different thing. But I find nowhere in the scriptures where he supports that. But I do believe, what could the Bible say, he's married to the backslider, that you can come again. And that he's coming again for all of us. When you be in the number, I know I'm doing everything in my power to be a part of the number. God bless you all. I love you all. Spend some time with your families today. Love on them. Let's pray before we get out of this space and we'll get out. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done so far, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for those, Lord, who you bless to be under the power of the power and our voice. So, I mean, to hear us be able to articulate, Lord Jesus, that which you've laid before us on today. Lord, I ask that you watch them, you keep them, Lord Jesus. Lord, help them, Lord Jesus, throughout the week, Lord Jesus. Lord, protect them. Lord Jesus, dispatch an angel all around them, Lord. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to them in any form or fashion. Keep them in the palm of thy hand like only you can, Lord Jesus. Lord, allow your anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free, Lord Jesus, to sit upon each and every one of them, Lord, like only you can. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you keep them COVID free, oh God. Lord Jesus, I ask that you watch them and you keep them, oh God, as they travel down the dangerous highways or wherever it is that they set their feet to go, oh God. Bless them, oh God, Lord Jesus. Love on them, Lord Jesus. Hold them, Lord Jesus, Lord. And we thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. For we know all power is in your hand, Lord Jesus. For we honor you in this place today, Lord. We honor you with our life, Lord Jesus. We honor you with our health. We honor you with our strength, Lord. And we want to say we thank you, Lord. And we love you and we praise your name. For we know this one thing and we know this to be true. What do we say? We walk by faith and not by sight. We ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you all. I love you all. Two things before we can walk completely out of this space. Remember, on Monday nights, not this Monday, but the next Monday, we will have what? The Safe House has the women at the well. This is where all our women get together. Amen. This is for whosoever will. You do not have to be a member of the Safe House Church to enjoy this space. Amen. Come on in, have a good time with the other ladies, you know, be able to talk about the things of God and things that pertain to ladies and just helping you live this life, amen. I don't know another space or another godly space that you would want to go to be with them, amen. And then we have the men's locker room. The men's locker room is when? On Thursday nights at 9 p.m. where the men get together and we have the same thing. So we have separate spaces, both men and women. Women, that's a great space. There you can learn. I know this week, for the women, they will not be meeting, but you can meet on next week with them and just go in there and just enjoy yourself. No obligation. No, it's free of charge. We don't charge for the gospel. Amen. But we're just grateful to have others in this space. If all hearts and minds are clear, amen, we are going to get on out of here. God bless you all. Love you all. Don't eat too much. Don't overeat. Be careful out there. And I'm asking God to bless you, keep you, and that heaven forever smile on you in the beautiful name of Jesus. God bless you all. Take care. I love you all, and we'll see you all on next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
the world, looking at the nation. Suicide, genocide.